Hi, this is Allison Sheridan of the No Silicast podcast, hosted at podfeed.com. Today is Sunday, January 22nd, 2006, and this is show number 27. Well, as you know, I like to watch my statistics on podfeed.com to see who all's coming to see the website and listen in. And I got one question. Where did all you people come from? Being an engineer, of course, I'm plotting the number of visitors to podfeed.com in Excel and graphing it and all that. And I've been watching the numbers grow with enthusiasm over the last couple of months. I was kind of sad during December because it was kind of a sleeper month. I didn't even do as well as I did in November, but evidently that was because of the holidays, because all of a sudden people are coming out of the woodwork. And I'm not even kidding. There is a knee in the curve this week that somebody somewhere found me, and people are flocking to the No Silicast, which, of course, I love. So get this. We've added 18 new countries in 1 week to the No Silicast podcast. People are listening. This is just crazy, and I love it. If you don't believe me, check out the graph I've put in the show notes at podfeed.com. If you're a new listener to the No Silicast, please drop me a line at allison@podfeed.com and let me know where you found me. I can tell through my statistics gathering where people linked in from, and 97% of the people are coming from direct links or bookmarks, or I believe the category of through the iTunes Music Library or through Odeo or one of those sources would be the same thing. So I don't know what happened, but I love it. Thanks for joining. And if this is your first time, welcome aboard. If you've been a longtime listener, thanks for listening and stay with us. As always, the show notes are highly detailed and have all the links you need, so don't reach down and try to write down a link while you're driving the car or something, or jogging if you have a pencil with you. Anyway, sit back and enjoy. Well, Research Department Naraj has suggested that I should have a link to a live update of what countries listen to the No Silicast, but he'll regret that because I'll make him help me code it up. For now, I wanted to tell you all the countries that have joined us this week. And in the show notes, I'm going to include links to the CIA Factbook that will show you maps of these countries, land area, climate, terrain, natural resources, ethnic groups, and a ton of more interesting information. If you are new to the No Silicast, you need to be informed that I'm the epitome of the ugly American. I'm absolutely pathetic when it comes to geography. All those years of calculus and physics seem to have pushed any skills in that area right out of my brain. Well, let me give you a list of the countries that joined us this week. We have Algeria, Argentina, Costa Rica, Croatia, Indonesia, Iran, Ireland, Jordan, Kuwait, Macedonia, Malaysia, Malta, Romania, South Africa, Thailand, Uganda, Ukraine, and Vietnam. Isn't that crazy? So there's one bad side effect of a bunch of new listeners is this means that they have not checked out show number 26 on podfeed.com. I'm sorry, where's the show number? Oh, I thought I wrote, oh, here we go. Show number 18 on November 20th when I discussed all the reasons you shouldn't use Internet Explorer and encouraging people to use Firefox or Opera or an alternative browser of some kind. Our Internet Explorer usage is up to 27% now, and we had driven it down to 11%. So if you have a mind to, go check out podcast number 18 and see what you can learn there. I worked last weekend on an enhanced version of show number 26, and I have posted it up on the weblog there. And the advantage of this enhanced version is it gives you chapter markers. Now, I don't know how it works in other tools, but if you're in iTunes, the chapter markers show up as photographs that I've inserted or graphs of things I've been talking about that show you what I was talking about at each step. And you can also, there's a little pull-down menu jumps up right between where you can see the timeline and the search window in the upper right. A little tiny box shows up, and if you click on that, you can pull down to a specific spot in a podcast. So like when I was talking about Google Earth, it'll say Google Earth and show the little picture. And if you click on that, it'll jump right to that spot in the podcast. So I also put in links in, this is in GarageBand that I can do all this cool new programming. But I asked listener Neil if he wouldn't mind checking this out and seeing whether this had any utility. And he did an exhaustive review. I was really blown away about how much time he spent working on this. But he said he couldn't see the links. And then I went into iTunes and checked too. And I don't know where the links would even be. So if anybody knows where they are, let me know. I can see them in GarageBand, but I don't know where they ended up in the file. So Neil felt that it was mildly entertaining and might help to go back after a full listen through to maybe jump to a specific section and re-listen. But beyond that, he said if it was a lot of work, it didn't seem like it was a huge enhancement. And it was a lot of work. Kind of fun, you know, because I was learning how to do it. But if I had to do it every week, I think I might get kind of tired of doing it. Last week, I mentioned that there's a petition out to request Google to make its services more accessible by eliminating a thing they have called a CAPTCHA. Again, a CAPTCHA is those squirrely little letters or numbers that they put in a box. It's actually a graphic that you have to type in order to create a login. And the reason they do this, and a lot of places have started to do this, is because that keeps bots and spiders from creating these fake accounts and spamming and that sort of thing. The problem is that if you're visually impaired, it's completely unusable. It becomes an inaccessible site for you. So it seems like a really bad way to go, and there are alternative methods that should be able to work pretty well. If you wouldn't mind, I'd love it if you'd head over to petitiononline.com/CAPTCHA, that's CAPTCHA, or click on the link in the show notes, and just click the button there to help more people to be able to participate in this great adventure that is the internet. Last week, I also gave Father Roderick a plug for inspiring me to get a new microphone, and then I didn't tell you where to find his podcast. There's two ways. One is through CatholicInsider.com or through his new website, SQPN.com. For some reason, that's a very hard URL for me to remember. It stands for Star Quest Podcast Network. I don't know, too many letters. It scares me. Anyway, the site is beautiful, and he has a fantastic podcast. He's got a real enthusiasm about life, including movies and music and people and even technology. He's just got such a pleasing, wonderful accent. It's just exciting to listen to. You feel good when you're done listening to it. You should definitely consider listening to his podcast when you're done listening to the new Silicast, of course. Well, I would like to announce my fourth quarter earnings report. I earned $1.04 from my Google AdSense on the website. Just wanted to thank all of you who clicked on an ad. It really made a difference. And I'm well on my way to having even higher earnings this quarter. Heck, I'm up to 27 cents already this year. And it's only the 22nd of January. Going to be quitting my day job soon. So podcasters across the world are struggling with how to pay for the bandwidth they get in their podcasts or the bandwidth they use for their podcasts. And also wondering whether they couldn't make a little money at this. So a lot of them are looking to advertisers, and this has really turned into a pet peeve of mine. Advertising is maybe a necessary evil, I can see that, but there's only two companies, evidently, who are offering ads for podcasting. So it seems that every podcast I listen to that has ads is either doing an ad for GoDaddy or for GoToMeeting, which isn't even cross-platform, so what good is that for me? And if I hear one more ad for one of those two services, I'm just going to scream, getting really tired of it. So I thought I'd go in search of a new and different advertiser, and I think I found something you're sure to enjoy.
Rico's Squid Emporium announces its 25% off semi-annual mega sale. That's right, we're blowing out squid left and right. All kinds of squid at low prices you won't believe. New Zealand squid, we've got them. Japanese squid, we've got them. Even that hard-to-find Antarctic squid, we've got them. Are we crazy with these blowout prices? Well, maybe Rico is.
Swag, swag.
But then again, Rico's a penguin, and he knows good squid. And he knows how to deliver at the lowest possible prices. So we've got a barn burner and a humdinger. Pack the kids in the car and come on down. We've got free balloons and free squid sickles. And for the adults, we have free squidachinos. Gaze out over 5 acres of incredible prime, fresh, raw squid. Bring your friends, bring your neighbors, but most of all, bring your wallet. Because these prices won't last at Rico's
squack, squack.
Squid Emporium. It's squidalicious.
Well, I know where I'm going after this. I'm heading over to Rico's Squid Emporium to get me some of that farm-fresh squid. Let's start with a little review of interesting little application. If you're an old fogey like me, you still remember with pleasure what it was like to flip through your vinyl albums to find just the right one. It's something pleasing about flipping through the albums and looking at the covers and that sort of thing. So research department Niraj found an application called CoverFlow from steelskies.com. What it does is, when you open this application, the first thing it does is catalog all of your albums, and it captures the cover art, and it makes sort of a little flip file in front of you where you can see each of the different album covers, and as you flip through them, you can stop on one and double-click it. In the background, it launches iTunes and starts playing the album for you. But you don't actually notice iTunes being there. It seems like it's coming from CoverFlow. It's a really cute little application. The graphics are gorgeous, and it does reflections of the albums on the, let's call it a black tabletop, a la the way iChat AV works these days, and kind of a stylish thing. Apple has been putting a lot of their tools. So it gives this beautiful reflection, and there's a slider across the bottom that lets you choose and you can slide through it by alphabet. So if you know you're looking for something under P, you can just slide to it. So anyway, it's a free album browser. It only works under OS X Tiger using Cocoa and OpenGL. Even if you can't use it because of system limitations, there's a cool video on the website that you can watch just to make you jealous. You don't need this application, but it really is cool to look at. There was some sad news today in the digital camera market. Konica Minolta has decided to exit the market entirely. I got my first real camera in December of 1978 for Christmas. It was a Minolta X700 SLR, and I still have it. I used that camera till April of 2001 for 23 years until I got my first digital camera. As you can see on my favorite gadgets page of the website, my latest digital camera is the Konica Minolta Dimage Z3. I really like the camera. It has a fabulous zoom, and it feels like a little tiny SLR, and I've been really happy with it. So when the sad news that came that Konica Minolta was exiting the camera business entirely, I was pretty bummed. Nikon also announced earlier that they were exiting the film camera business, but they, like I said, Konica Minolta is getting out altogether. They're selling their technology to Sony, and I'm sad to see them go, because they did a really good job for me over the years. Every once in a while, just for fun, I'll go grab a roll of film and put it in my Minolta X700 and shoot a few shots. It's kind of pleasing and kind of fun. Well, my husband has been dying to get digital cable for ages now because he loves good sound and a high-quality picture. This is really important to him, not to me. I watch my soap opera on the worst possible quality so it'll fast-forward as quickly as possible. But he really wanted this, so I tried to placate him a while ago with an indoor pair of rabbit ears designed to pick up the HD signal, but it was kind of flaky and inconsistent. So last week I gave in, and we installed digital cable, routed through our TiVo, and hooked up to our stereo receiver and the HDTV. And then he went off on a two-day business trip. I sat down to watch my two favorite shows, Desperate Housewives and Grey's Anatomy, and the picture recorded was all black. Then my son Kyle tried to watch one of his shows. While the picture was there, there was no sound. So here I am, all ready to watch TV, surrounded by no less than 6 remote controls, and I can't watch television. I think you'll like my solution, though. I downloaded the shows off of BitTorrent and watched them by connecting my PowerBook through DVI into the big screen TV. Isn't that crazy? I paid for the TiVo, I paid for the TiVo service, paid for the digital cable service, and the TV, and the stereo, and yet I had to illegally download the shows I paid for in order to watch them. Jeez. Luckily, he came home and spent hours diagnosing our wiring diagrams and finally figured out what was wrong, and all is now happy in the Sheridan household. The one big problem with having digital cable, though, is that it makes you watch football. I don't know what it is, but there's something about football on HD that is just amazing. I don't even watch football, but I found myself watching the Steelers game today, because you could see the individual blades of grass and the sound was Dolby 5.1, so you could hear the applause coming up from behind you and the high speakers. And I don't know, this is not a good thing. Catch me watching football. So I want to tell you one of the reasons I'm a big believer in freeware and shareware. It's not just because of the price. Now, I do like the price, but it's the accessibility to the developers. On show number 23, I reviewed a shareware application called SaveMe that will auto-save your documents in any application. It's really slick because it's tailorable by application. So if, for example, when I'm in Photoshop, I almost always want to save the file under the same name. But when I'm in, in Photoshop, I usually don't want to save under the same name. But in Excel, I usually do want to save under the same name. So you can change the behavior of this application from save to save as. You can change how often it saves. You can save whether it saves, change whether it saves automatically or whether you have to, answer the question, yes, I want to save. So in any case, it's a slick little tool and I really enjoy it. But I did find one small bug and another small annoyance, so I shot off a note to the developers, and Adam Goldstein from goldfishsoft.com wrote back to me almost immediately with a very positive response, telling me that they would put my suggestions at the top of the fix list. I know you think I'm an international celebrity and all, but I know that this is just how it works with these freeware shareware guys. Can you imagine getting this kind of response from a company like Microsoft or Apple? Make sure you always pay for your shareware fees if you end up using the tool. These guys deserve their compensation for making our lives more enjoyable and productive. Well, I spent some time with iWeb Saturday and went through all of the menus and the tutorials and played around quite a bit. And what I found out was it's really easy to start up. You pick a theme and you can drag and drop photos and movies into it. But there's some flaky behavior in that drag and drop feature. The way you get to your photos and movies is there's a button called Media, and you'll see a thing for photos, for movies, and for music, and you can drop things in. But that section actually locks up under two different conditions I found. One is if you have a corrupt media file in your movies folder. And for some reason, I evidently have a corrupt file because when I moved all of my movies out, it went away. It started functioning again. But I also found a bunch of people on the web who had Flip for Mac installed. It has something to do with Windows Media Player conversion. I'm not even sure what it's for. Research department Niraj probably told me to load it, so I did. But anyway, if you have Flip for Mac installed, that little window is likely to lock up for you too. So anyway, once I got that running, it was pretty fun. One of the pages you can make is specifically for adding photos. And as you pull them from your media folder onto the web page, everything just slides around real neat. Like wherever you put it, it puts them in a different order as you're sliding them and stuff. It's really fun. And rearranging them is just trivial. You just grab them and drag them around. And when it creates the website itself, it creates puts a slideshow button up on the screen on the web page. So you get the slideshow button. When you click it, it brings up one of the pictures. And if you hover near the top of the screen, it shows like a film strip so you can choose different photos. And if you hover down below, it'll bring up the controls for the slideshow. Now, it might not be obvious to everybody because neither of those controls are visible unless you hover over them. But when you do it, it's a really, really slick effect, kind of like an iPhoto slideshow. I did verify that it looks beautiful on Safari and Firefox on the Mac, and it looked good on IE and Firefox under XP. A completely consistent experience. So I think they did a good job doing the programming there. The big problem with iWeb is that, two problems. The themes don't seem to be easily editable. I tried to edit it a little bit, and it got kind of goofy, so I kind of undid everything there. Like, I wanted to put in the podfeet.com banner and, you know, start making it look like my website and maybe consider using that for creating the blog and that sort of thing. But it didn't really work. Now, I'm not really good at this stuff, but maybe somebody will create a plugin, one of those great shareware guys, for creating your own themes, and then that'll get really interesting. The biggest problem, though, is once you've chosen a theme, you're stuck with it. So let's say you put in a bunch of content, you have a bunch of podcasts you've put up there, you've put in blogs, and you got photos, and then you go, yeah, you know, I don't really like this. I want a different theme. You have to throw everything away. And that's just not workable. People who've grown to love programs like WordPress and Blogger and all these other kind of blogging tools, one of the great joys is that if you get bored with your design, you can just swap it out and everything like magic jumps right in. It's really, really a cool effect, and it's a lot of fun to play with, and maybe you just want to make enhancements to it, that kind of thing. But if you have to throw it all away, that's just not going to work. So it looks like Apple's taken an interesting first step. But just like any of these things, it looks like they have a long way to go. But I'm optimistic this could be really fun to play with in the future. Well, it looks like that's going to wrap it up for show number 27. As always, feedback is welcome at allison@podfeet.com, or you can post comments on the website at podfeet.com. Thanks for listening, and stay subscribed.